Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will...
They lost one third of their population through famines and plagues. They start looking for...
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome.
The Africans, the Arabs and the Berbers were controlling the Mediterranean, and they had blocked their passage to the greatest trading body of water in the world, the Mediterranean Sea. On the borders of that sea, world trade began. Panama passed across. The people came through the front door of Egypt across that body of water. The amalgams from Asia came across that body of water.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the palace.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was
tonight. We come to you with our Bible stories, Bible class tonight, and we're just going to talk about some of the things that's going on now. I was in research earlier, and a lot of people say that 5G is making a lot of stuff happen in the astral. So we're praying tonight for your breakthrough tonight, getting ready for Christmas, getting ready, whatever. And the virus has got back up. People saying the virus is back up. So many people in the hospital. But in the Bible story, Bible class, in the Bible, God is the God of the universe. God is the God that controls man. So tonight, I want you to get ready for God to touch and open up for you. That was Dr. King saying, we shall overcome. And I believe that with all this going on in 2023 and 2022 would be an eye-opener for everybody and will bring us back into the oneness of the Almighty God. I'm praying for you tonight and you. We're getting ready to go into Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. So I want to go a step further tonight. Only the anointing of the Holy Spirit will guide you. God will guide you. We got so many people ain't got faith. They go to church. They go to mosque. They go to the temple, but they don't have no faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance thing, hope for everything that's in faith. I want you to reach down in you. I was talking to a guy who's on the ventilator for a month getting Tucker Kobe shot. And the doctor told her wife to pull the plug. And she said, no, I'm not going to pull the plug on my husband. And the doctor was tired. They wanted him gone and die. She kept him out. Now he's back home. 31 days he was in the hospital on the ventilator. And he didn't take no COVID test. What I'm saying to you tonight, them having took the test, you need to take it. If you ain't got no faith, in God. I know one lady who passed lately. You know, I was talking to another young lady. I said, you can't have people in and out of your house like that. You know, definitely stuff is in the air. And the stuff the cook was telling me, Bishop, the stuff started when they come out with that 4-5G. The airline pilot met with AT&T and the rest of them and said, like, y'all got to take the 4G for 5G down, the 4G, because it's messing with the airplane. And this is microwave. This is stuff messing with the airplane. So messing with the airplane, so you know it's messing with our bodies. And one lady told me it didn't happen. They started talking about this 5 and 4G stuff. That's what they said. But I got Dr. Henry Clark on tonight. I want to share some things with you. But I want you, like Dr. King said, we shall overcome. And you got to know that you can overcome any diversity that's messing with you. And, you know, we're getting ready for Christmas and then New Year, and we'll be in 2022. And this virus is more, right now this virus is more moving more than anything right now. So this virus is moving real fast. So it takes, one lady says she's scared to go to the store. Now the mayor of Chicago, I think of New York too, if you go to a restaurant, you got to show your card that you've been vaccinated, that you got a shot. And then some of you got the booster. But this girl was telling me in Atlanta, a whole family took the booster, but they still sick. And Dr. Bowser said, you might get sick, but you won't die. But if some people took the shot and died, they said that's a rare situation. So what I'm saying tonight, get ready for God to bless you and get ready to know that things open up for you and get ready to claim your healing, your blessing, and claim what God going to do for you. And don't let nobody tell you that God won't heal your body. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. This is Bible class night. And anytime we have Bible class night, we like to talk about the Bible. And I like to give you some scripture. And everybody moving fast. And they all hyped up because it's Christmas. Christmas have a spirit. New Year have a spirit. So I want to tell you that. So as we get ready tonight to go in the Bible, I want to deal with one scripture tonight. And I know you got your Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the 23rd number of Psalms. I want you to break it down. Listen to it like you never did before. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That was David. And then he talked about, you know, I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I feel no evil. So every day, you can't, they're going to bring on. You got to be the one to call what's happening to be. You have to be the woman or the man that's serving God where you can serve other people. You can't make grown folk get saved. You can give them the truth. And we got lots of lies, misconception, and people really demonic spirits. You wonder why it's happening. Because they have left God out of their life. And they're doing their own thing. When we, in 1618, when they brought us from Africa, our ancestors, we were the one that built the back of this country. We didn't come out of Cuba, Hawaii. Our ancestors came out of Africa. We're not going back to Africa, but we got to understand where we come from. And some of them was already here, but they brought them. So Africa is your ancestor home, but your home is Chicago, Detroit, Mississippi, Minnesota, Ohio, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, anywhere you can, South Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. All that is where you at. Now you can reflect on ancestry. You can reflect on some of the things that they did, but it's to make you more strong because you got melanin. Arm and Ra. The God, and you all said, the God watching over you, and the God will see about you quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I just want to share that with you tonight. And you might understand there's a breakthrough coming. And when you read the Bible, sometimes you have to reread it over and over in order to get what you need to get. On this Wednesday night, I decree your healing, your deliverance. But I do more than that tonight. Your connection with your ancestors, I say. Your connection with God, your connection with your family. Now, we done got two shots. Somebody got a booster. And then I just heard it in Israel, you got to get another booster. So that's two shots. A booster, that's two shots and a booster. Okay. So, and then another one would be, you already got two shots and a booster. But they're so bad, then we get another booster. So that's four shots you got to take. Then they might say, you got to take a shot every year. My thing is, what's wrong with this country that you can't straighten this out? You have to let go of some of the stuff you're doing and begin to worship God. And God, because David said, the Lord is my shepherd that I should not want. David will put emphasis on God and who God was. I think he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I should not want that personal. Then come out, mommy, God is my God. So what he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay. He's my God, he'll watch over me. But sometimes you got to get ready for God to watch over you. This is Dr. Claus.
My main point here is that none of us should get into this dialogue of my slave master is better than your slave master, inasmuch as all of them were bad. But each one of us had to deal with a given situation, and all of the situations were bad, and all of the situations were humiliating. And none of the slave masters were kind. And none of them did us any favor. And none of them favored one over the other. And understand that the slave ships did not bring any black Americans or any Caribbeans out of Africa. They were only African people. And all of them had to become what the system made them become. And so we have to understand that all of us belong to a collective African family away from home. And subsequently, we are going to have to go back home or make some kind of contribution to Africans in Africa. All right, that's not my point. That's not the subject for tonight. but it is a subject that we cannot avoid. All right, now, why the emphasis on Africa and the rise of Christianity? And I'll tell you how I came to the subject briefly. Because I learned to read very early, because I wanted to teach Sunday school in a Baptist church, and because I had, I was under the persuasion of a great lady, my great grandmother, one of the great loves of my existence, because she was devoutly religious and a believer in the Bible to the point of saying everything in the Bible is true and not to be contradicted. And when I found all those white images and went to Grandma, Grandma said, "Shut up, boy. That's God's word." When I mentioned the curse and asked the question, what did we do as a people to get cursed? She rationalized it and said that, well, one day the veil will be lifted and we'll be freed of the curse. I could not deal with this because I had so much faith in her and her deep religious belief that everything in the Bible was true. I had not grown up, of course. I had not read books about how the Bible got written. I did not know at that time how to separate history from Jewish folklore. I did not know that principally the Bible is a Jewish survival book and a very good one, and that some of it is pure history, some of it is pure folklore, but all of it is spirituality. And we must understand, all of it was told as a spiritual story and for the spiritual enhancement of all men. I had not at that time looked at the Egyptian version and the Ethiopian version of the Bible. It was not until the late 30s that I saw an Ethiopian Bible, and in the Ethiopian Bible there was only one white character, and that was the devil. I had not at that time been exposed to all of that or the literature concerning the religions of the world. I saw that Africa was the basis of all the three major world religions. What I want to look at, I want to look at not only Africa as the basis of the world's religions, I want to look at the spirituality of the world of that day before the formal development of these religions. Because these religions were developed out of the spirituality that existed at the time. And that the spirituality at the time and the religions at the time was not a weekend thing. It was an all-conclusive thing that it embraced the life of its inheritance. To such an extent, your religion determine your dress, your marriage, your diet. It determines where you live. It determines the totality of your life. And it was not a partial thing in your life. It was a total thing in your life, as your choice of spirituality supposed to be. Western man made it something that it was never intended to be. Now, my main point is that all of the elements that went into the making of the world's three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all of the elements existed in Africa 3,000 years before the formal development of these religions. We want to look at these elements and look at these stories. Then we want to deal with the Hebrew interest and to what extent they copied African folklore and made this folklore a part of their history. And the same folklore having existed in Africa for thousands of years before they arrived. Now, what you have to look at also is the fact that we are talking about a period in the history of the world when there was no such thing as Europe. It's hard for you to believe this, and it is hard for you to understand that for most of the time, man has been functioning in the world, there was no such place as Europe. Now, we're looking at civilizations that existed before the creation of a place in northern Asia called Europe. That is not a continent. What you have to understand is the impact of the glacial age. And the glacial age hit Europe. For most of the existence of these early civilizations, Europe was an ice cap and was uninhabited. It was only after the melting of this ice that people could go into Europe and form a civilization or a way of life. And these first people were Africans. Now, you're wondering, how did they become white? Well, it's a longer story that we can tell. But nature endows man and woman with the covering they need when nature put them down. And nature subtracts from man and woman things that they do not need in the climate and in the environment where nature put them down or where they choose to dwell. All right, now, Christianity developed out of African humanistic values and social thought. These humanistic values and social thought was old in Africa and remained in Africa for thousands of years before someone gave the religion a name. In other words, there was probably more Christianity before someone decided that it should have a name and they put a name on it. Now, this is reflected in a lot of literature, some written by our own writers, John Jackson's Pagan Origins of the Christ Myth, where he traces the concept of Christ in 26 civilizations, all
1,000 miles apart. And in another work, Man, God, and Civilization, and another pamphlet, The African Origins of Christianity, and his new work, only out a few months ago, Christianity Before Christ. Now the unfortunate thing about a book like Christianity Before Christ is that a lot of people will read the title, be intrigued with the title, and little afraid to read the book. And yet he has treated the subject with great delicacy and with great respect. All he has done is to point out that all of the elements that ultimately went into the making of Christianity existed in Africa before Christ, and someone came along and a set of circumstances made man formalize those elements and give it a name. Now that is not disrespectful of the religion at all. It is a tracing of the origins of the religion to African sources, Nile Valley sources, mainly Ethiopia and the nations in the Nile Valley. We're not emphasizing Egypt alone, because Egypt alone was not the producers of this great civilization. A complex of nations in the Nile Valley produced this civilization and produced the religion. The concept of worship and the concept of a single God first appeared in Ethiopia. But the formalization of the concept would later appear in Egypt during the period of Akhenaten. All right, now, my point is that in looking at the religion, we have to look at the history at the same time. And we have to look at some of the literature around it, especially John Jackson's work, Ethiopia and the Origins of Civilization, and the pagan origins of the Christ myth, and other works, including the later work on the African origins of Christianity. All right. He shows also how this religion spread to India, spread to other parts of the world, and took on different names, and these deities appeared under other guys. All right, now, the formalization of these religions, of this religion, and this religion functioning side by side with other religions, brought no conflict at this time in history, none of the conflict that we see today. And we see it first taking shape in Ethiopia and moving down the Nile. And the fortunate circumstance of its birth and its development before someone gave it a name, because there was no pressure or agitation about it in this setting. There was no Asian, there was no European, and the Africans wasn't fighting over it, and they granted each other the choice of choosing one aspect of it than another. But the Africans had already begun to develop the main aspect that would go into their spiritual life. And
aspect that still goes into African spiritual life, if you visit the villages, you will not see it in the city, but you will see it today in the villages. And that is bringing life in harmony with nature. And when we look at life today in the Western world is out of harmony with nature. It makes no sense. It makes no sense for one man to have enough bread to feed a multitude and to hold up the multitude. It makes no sense. There's a lack of balance. But Africans had a society where each man gave and each man had according to his needs. Now this was a form of social living that predates the concept of socialism. This is what Karl Marx misunderstood, and this is what the Marxists still misunderstood, and this is what they stupidly call primitive communism. It wasn't primitive at all. It was advanced, and it was Christian. Because they say religion is the opiate of the people, they can't deal with the fact that these early societies in that spirituality was a total thing. And religion wasn't the opiate of the people. Religion was part of the totality of the society and part of the day-by-day spirituality of the society, and it determined everything. It was only in the emptiness of Europe. It was only under feudalism. It was only in the misuse of the child. It was only in this regard, the hustlerism of the European church, that they turned it into the opiate of the people. But religion was never intended to be the opiate of the people. And this is why the European has no understanding of the non-European mind, of the non-European spirituality.
All right, good.
Early religions were not hurriedly brought into being or hurriedly changed. They stayed intact for years. So the basic thing about these religions was to create balance in society, and a respect for the law of God. If you have a God, you have to have a God.
Yes.
Here you have the first female equality. Here you have the first female gods of history. While Hathor is the best known of the early gods, because her influence spread to India, and the concept of the sacred cow started from the worship of Hathor. But the greatest and the most influential of all of the female gods is Maya, who is still worshipped. Now, Europe never had a female spiritual figure. At no time did any female rise to a permanent position in the spirituality of Europe or Islam? I'm saying that these Africans had created a society where the fear of the female mind was unknown, and where man was considered to be a balance or unbalanced without female companionship. And where sometimes the God was depicted as being a combination of male and female. Because the totality of man, as they conceived it, consisted of these. Now, this humanistic way of looking at life and looking at people brought into being a concept that is still practiced in Africa, and that is the concept of a matrilineal society. The concept of a society where the lineage comes down through the female side of the family. In most African societies to this day are matrilineal as against patrilineal. And every invader and the last of the massive invaders who tried to change this and succeed in changing it in one part of Africa, especially the East Coast, would be the
Africans. That's Dr. Henry Clark. You're talking about Africa. But I come to tell you, Jesus is reading for the season. And I want you to get ready for a blessing for 2022. Now, it's a scripture I want you to read. And I want you to obey that scripture when you read it. If you don't understand it, call me and I will explain it to you. Now, I want to say this to you going into 2022. Well, we got to take two more shots, whether you know it or not. I got my book, Jerry, Prophecy of 2022. Mary, I'm going to get one to you. Don't forget, Mary and Mary, cake shop, cooking cake. If you need a cake, pound cake, whatever she's cooking it. Mary, cake company. And then we got Sister Delta Walker to do all finance. She do if you want to invest your money, trying to get a house, or you trying to get your money where you get more for bigger bang for your dollar. Call Delta Walker, Delta Finance. Then I got Sister Walker have sea moss. You know, with all this virus, you need some sea moss and some herbs. If you live in Detroit, see Sister Kim. Call me. I'll give you these people's number for if you want to take care of some business. I want to say this to you tonight. This is Wednesday night. This is the last month of this year, going into 2022. Now, I want to say this to you. You can do it if you want to. You're going to the end of the month, going into 2022. I want you to, you can text me or you can write me in my post office box 289097. I want you to plant a seed. I believe in planting seed and receiving a harvest. It's in the Bible. When you plant a seed, you're going to get a harvest coming from heaven. The widow woman planted the seed all she had, and she fed the nation. And I want to tell you, when you plant a seed of prayer, Daniel in the lion's den, the lions could not eat him because he had a connection with God. Then you talk about the boys in the fire of furnace. You talk about the boys that was there and they put the fire hot, but they couldn't do nothing. They had made a vow to God. I want to tell you, 2022, in my prophecy, they're going to be sighting a UFO. In my prophecy, they're going to find a new tomb in Egypt. Obviously, you're going to see blizzard in the Midwest. I said Midwest, I'm talking about Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, South Dakota, North Dakota, that's in the north. In the east, now what you experience down in Florida, tornadoes never hit Florida. When you go down south, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, it's going to be ice storm next month. You're going to hear about it. Trees breaking off, roads blocked like ice. Until man gets together with God. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. When man makes his mind up, he's going to obey God. All this killing and murder is the work of the devil, of evil, evil spirit. People that are not in tune with God. This is what I want you to read. When you start reading now, read all the way into next year. Revelation 22, verse 1, 2, and 3. Do what it says. Revelation 22, verse 1, 2, and 3. Proverbs 22, verse 1, 2, and 3. And while you're reading that, you got to have some backup. Get Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where Michael and his angels ran the devil out of heaven, and he fell into the earth realm. That's where he at now, the killing, the murder. Abaddon and his demons are fighting you and me. This virus, I was told by a wise lady, this virus come when the 5G came out. It started messing with people through there. We got some more going to die. But if you stay prayerful, I hear the Bible says the wages of sin is death and gift. Get your act clean, man. One, praise God. I don't care how much wrong they do, you give God, and God's going to get your back. God's going to keep you. I don't care what kind of virus, what kind of fire. You know, the God of the water, the God of the wind, the God of fire. The God. You see, they told y'all one God. You know, like, I want to talk with this about Christmas. And Dr. Henry Clark was saying, and I agree with him, that when the Africans used to go celebrate Christmas before Christianity, y'all, it ain't just started. They didn't never cut the tree down. The European white folks cut the tree down and brought it in the house. But the Africans go pray to the tree, decorate the tree right out in the woods. So they cut millions of trees down when you don't supposed to cut them down. You don't supposed to worship no tree in your house. You supposed to, if you're going to grow a tree in your yard, or go somewhere and dress the tree. Because people in Africa and our ancestors, we worship trees, water, the wind. Because we know that's a part of God. But we'd have been so caused up, we're going to let God go. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life. And I want to say that because that was divine law. It said man and woman. Anything else is abomination for God. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter. One man told me and my wife got a relationship. What happened? She do what she want to do. I do what I want to do. She sleeps in one room. That ain't marriage. Marriage, you become one with God. See, all this killing is demonic spirit. All this homosexual stuff is demonic spirit. All this murder is demonic spirit. So the floods and the storm going to keep coming until somebody repents. A pastor called me today and said, Bishop, we have a service outside in the parking lot. I said, good. I'm going to have a Christmas. We have a service outside in the parking lot. I don't care where you have it at. You lift the name of the Almighty God up. When you do that, you're going to get a breakthrough. You're going to get what God got for you. Now, for 2022, you need to write a letter. Dear God, boom, 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 whatever you want. You can text it to me, or you can write to me and send it, Lisa, to Post Office Box 28907, Chicago, Illinois. Joanne, you can go to my website, thecedarabrahamswebsite.com, and send it that way. If you got a need, now I'm going to say this now, plant a seed. I'm seeding for my miracle for 2022. I'm seeding for my health for 20. I'm seeding for my son, my daughter. A young lady called me today. She said, Bishop, my daughter up in New York is cutting up, and I don't know what's going on with her. I said, seed. And right away, he hit PayPal and seed it. You know, when I called my daughter, Bishop, after she dropped the seed, she was showing like a different girl. So I was just shocked. I told her the power of God. When you hold stuff in your hand, you can't do nothing. If you take the seed and put it in the drawer, it ain't going to do nothing. But you take it, shake down, praise God, God's going to bring it back. St. Luke 6:38, shake down, praise God, run it over. See, when you plant your seed, look for a harvest. Whatever you ask God, he's going to give it to you quick, fast. See, some of you, well, I'm all right. You're never all right. You got to pray every day. You know, Job prayed every day and still had problems. You got to pray every day. And when I said prayer, meditate, call on God for your healing. One lady said she was sick. She said, the doctor said, you got the health surgery and you're all upset. Bishop, I listened to one of your tapes. I see it. I was cut in pain. I wrote the check and see it. And when I put it in the post office, I hadn't got it yet. She asked me, did you get it? I said, no, ma'am. She said, but whatever I did, the pain gone. I told the doctor I wasn't going to take surgery on my hip. And I wasn't going to get no hip placement. Okay. Right away, I prayed for her and said, baby, you ain't got to get no hip placement. This is what you need to do. And I gave her a few things to do. Honey, she all right. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Going in 2022, you're going to see a lot. You're going to hear a lot. God going to bring a lot of truth out. But all this stuff undercover in the dark, don't be there. Let go of God. You have to let go, because God's going to bring it out. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is telling you, you got to repent. I'm praying for you, Bright Star. God bless you. I receive your offering. God bless you. But I want to prophesy to you, that's two buildings. You just bought one building. God can open up you another building. And God said, I hear Jabez, I want you to read Jabez's prayer. Matter of fact, I want all of you to read Jabez's prayer. Increase my territory in 2022. Okay? But you got to put some seed with it. See, if you go, Jerry, if you go out there in the garden and say, I want some corn. If you don't put no corn in the ground, it ain't going to go. You got to put some seed out there. And once you put the seed, you begin to pray. Oh, y'all ain't going to play with me. I don't care what it is. When you begin to see a harvest coming from heaven, God Almighty, I just know that's going to happen. I want you to get ready. And tonight, I'm talking about the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. David said that, but a lot of preachers, they go to church and they preach a funeral. It ain't about no funeral. The Lord, if you listen to it, the Lord my shepherd, it's about you embracing God and God protecting you. How can God be you dead? And preaching, glory to the Lord, who my shepherd, shall not want, yet do I walk through the north. You're already dead. This the 23rd number psalm is for people living, not nobody dead. And every preacher, and when I was coming about, my pastor used to do it. And I said, no, this ain't right. 23rd number psalm is not for death. It's for life. It's for making relate. It's a personal thing. The Lord is my, not your mama, not the, you. It's up to you. I'm going to leave that alone because some of you don't like that, but I just want to say that to you. I might play a little 23rd number or something. I got it on here. But I just want you to know that the Lord is my shepherd. I tell you, I want you to embrace that. You might need to read it tonight. I know it by heart. Read it. See, you're so hard-headed. I know it. You don't know nothing but what God did you. You can read that scripture, and I can read it 100 times. I get something new out of it. When you read it, you might get a message from heaven, and you might get revelation knowledge by reading it. See? I don't read it. I know it, Bishop. Knowing it and reading it, two different things. Huh? You can code it all you want to, but reading where the Spirit will come in and maybe tell you something that's going on. You don't even know what's happening. You in the dark for that. You know, this month is the last month in the year. I want God to give you the best. I want you to have the best that God got for you. I'm going to pray a little bit of 23rd number Psalm before we go off the air. But I want you to read Psalms 119 East, West, so, and I want you to smudge your house. Now, you just don't know what that is. Call somebody. And I want you to smudge it and get ready. Because we're getting ready going to Las Vegas after Christmas because these people is not obeying. They ain't wearing no mask. And they think they super, but they demonotic because they ain't obeying God. And the curse has fallen. And what I'm talking about, God don't curse nobody. God give you a fact. You obey, because it's the way you sin is death to give God eternal life. It's a divine law. It's a man and woman. Anything else, not of God. It's a divine law. You heal and deliver. But you got to watch Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the same. Evidence, thing like see. Not faith. You got to walk by faith. I want somebody tonight to declare your healing on this prayer thing. I want you to declare your healing tonight. Word tonight will renew your healing.
And I have feasted to my satisfaction. Yeah. He let me then lay down in a plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green pasture. It's a green pasture. That's why I don't like to hear people talking about I'm a Christian and trying to be all pitiful. No, no, this thing is nothing piteous. I'm a child of the King. And my Father says the world is mine. And the fullness thereof belongs to me. Gold and silver are mine. And I have 10,000 blackings in my hand. Just for charity. Nothing pitiful. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Yes, he does. And he leads me beside the still water. The still water. They tell me that this part of the verse was inspired by an occurrence that constantly or frequently occurred with respect to shepherds and their sheep in Palestine. It is said that very often when the sheep went down to the Sea of Galilee, the waves were billowing and tossing. Sheep being of a timid nature, why would leave very often without sufficient drink? Shepherds devised a scheme to dig a trench leading from the main stream. And then let the trench run over, and at the end of the trench, dig a pool and let the water from the main stream run out and run through the trench and into the pool. And the water in the pool was called still water. Though the waves were dashing out here, though the white caps were kissing one another upon the surface of the water, the water in the pool was still and placid. I think that's what God does for us who have faith in him. Sometimes life's billowy sea It's too reckless for our timid souls to drink. But God has a way of opening up a private pool and letting our souls drink to the soul's satisfaction. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Yes, he does. He opens up a private pool for my soul. And not only that, he restores my soul. Soul is pretty hard to define. Nobody can really say what soul is. I think as close as we can come is to say it's a little part of God. And then soul has been defined as being one's ability to sympathize. One's ability to be considerate. One's ability to be considerate and compassionate. One's ability to be unselfish. Isn't it so? So that if you've lost your ability to sympathize with others, if you are only interested in your own welfare,